Pirkei Avot Eliezer, Perek Lamed Tes. So that's in the story of Pirkei Avot Eliezer is picking up from the last thing we did in the middle of last Perek. We spoke about the story. There's a chair over there for you.
Why are in ghosts?
Why not? It's Geschmack. We spoke about the Yosef being sold. That was the last thing. So now the Medrash is going to pick up with Yaakov Avinu finding out that Yosef is still alive and then coming down to Mitzrayim. It sort of like skips the middle, and then later on in the parak, it like backtracks and like tells you what was the whole thing that happened with Yosef and going to jail and the story with Potiphar, Eshes Potiphar, and whatever. I don't know why the Medrash is structured like that, but it's just that's an interesting way it's structured. But so the Medrash says, Yerida Revi'is Sheyored LeMitzrayim. I don't know if you remember way back when in Perek Yudalid, so we introduced the thing called the Eser Yeridis. The Hashem came down. It says that he, the Lashon of Yerida, of coming down 10 times in Chumash, that Hashem came down and very actively or very obviously intervened in the course of history. Right? The first one was Hashem came down by Gan Eden, and he said to Adam Rishon, like, what happened over here? The second time was by the Dor HaPalaga. The third time was when Hashem destroyed Sodom. So this is the fourth one. The fourth time that Hashem came down is Yared LeMitzrayim. Hashem went down to Mitzrayim. When Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim, Hashem comes down with him. Shneva, it says in the Pasuk, Onichi Ered Imcha Mitzrayimah. When Yaakov Avinu was considering whether he should go down to see his long-lost son in Mitzrayim, so he went to Be'er Sheva to offer sacrifices and ask Hashem what he should do, and Hashem said, don't worry, go down to Mitzrayim. Anuichi Ered Imcha Mitzrayim. I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim. Hashem said, I'm coming with you. So Hashem also came down to Mitzrayim. Some of the interesting thing, Well, we'll explain what it means in a few minutes, but it's an interesting thing that when the Medrash first talks about the Eser Yeridos, so it just like cryptically says, Achas b'Gan Eden, Achas b'Dor HaPalaga, Achas b'Sodom, v'Achas b'Mitzrayim. Or at least we had such a girsa over there in Perek Yudal, Achas b'Mitzrayim. So what does it mean, Achas b'Mitzrayim? So we're understanding, it's talking about Hashem going down with Yaakov Inu to Mitzrayim. The Zayis Ranan, on that Medrash over there by Eser Yeridos, he says, what does it mean, Achas b'Mitzrayim? That's talking about Makas b'Chayrus. And then the Bais HaGadol over here asks the Kashi, he says, what do you mean? First of all, it doesn't say a Lashon of Yerida by Makas b'Chayrus. It says, V'Varti b'Chayrus b'Mitzrayim, I'm going to pass through, but it doesn't say I'm going to go down. But it doesn't say Yerida. That's first of all. And second of all, it's explicit over here in the Pirkei Avot Eliezer that what does it mean, the Yerida by Mitzrayim? It means that Hashem went down with Yaakov, you know. Okay. Fine, so what's the story? Shama Yaakov al Yosef Shuchai. Yaakov Avinu heard that about Yosef that he's still alive. And he was pondering in his heart. And he said, Ech ezoiv eretz avoisai, ves eretz miladati, ves eretz shechinosesh agadish boruchu besecha. He said, how can I forsake the land of my forefathers, the land that I was born in, the land that the holy the presence of the Holy One, blessed be He, is in it? Right, and the Rav Chaim Falachi says sort of like that Yaakovinu was bothered by like it's my Nisayan over here seems to be the exact opposite of the Nisayan of my grandfather Avraham Avinu. His Nisayan was to leave everything and go to Eretz Yisrael, and my Nisayan is to leave everything and leave Eretz Yisrael. Ve'eleich al Eretz Tmeya l'seich ha'avadim b'nei Chom. And I should go to an unholy land, an impure land, into L'Sei Chavodim, in the midst of slaves, B'nei Chom, the descendants of Chom, because Mitzrayim is one of the sons of Chom. So the Mitzrayim, and if Chom is cursed, that they're supposed to be slaves, even though the Pasuk says that the curse was on Canaan, but we explained earlier that the curse is really going, it was really Chom who did the Avera, at least according to Pirkei Avot Eliezer and other Mefarshim. Right, so they're supposed to be slaves. I should go to a land of slaves. She'ein yiras shemayim b'neihem, that they don't have yiras shemayim between them. This lashon of yiras shemayim between them is a little bit funny. We'll get to it in a second. What exactly that means? Omar leKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, Yaakov al tiro. Don't worry, don't be scared. Anochi ered imcha mitzrayma, v'anochi alcha gam alai. This is the lashon of the pasuk. Al tira, don't be scared. Anochi ered imcha mitzrayma, I'm going to come down with you to Mitzrayim. V'anochi alcha gam alai. And I'm also going to bring you up from Mitzrayim. So don't be scared. You should go down to Mitzrayim. So before we get to the Shaila of what does it mean that Ein Yerushalayim Beinehem, between them, we should say like Ein Yerushalayim Bahem. Why does it say Beinehem? But before we get to that question, there's another more you said it's like a question. What's happening over here? Yaakov, you know, he's mispik. Should he go to Mitzrayim? Should he not? And Hashem says, no, don't worry, I'll come with you. What was bothering Yaakov, you know? Like, what? So the Beis HaLevi, that's the Reb Chaim Brisker's father, the Beis HaLevi, Al HaTorah, so in Parshas Vayigash, he has a vart, he's not going on this Medrash, but he's really more going on the Pesukim, but it fits into what the Medrash is saying over here. It says that Yaakov Avinu, of course he knew that Hashem told Avram Avinu that his descendants are going to be strangers in a foreign land for 400 years, and Yaakov Avinu was well aware of that, and he knew that at some point, you know, he's going to have to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to a strange land. What was Yaakov Avinu bothered by? Yaakov Avinu was bothered, and he realized that by him going down to Mitzrayim, you know, that's going to be the beginning of the fulfillment of that promise to Avram Avinu. So what was Yaakov Avinu bothered by? He was bothered by, does it have to be the foreign land is going to be Mitzrayim? I have to go to Mitzrayim? Such an impure place. Yaakov was worried or scared that if he and his descendants have to go into the Golos, Dafka and Mitzrayim, they're going to become corrupt by Mitzrayim themselves. They're going to become like Mitzrayim. They're going to start doing the same affairs as Mitzrayim is. And if they end up going there as for Golos, they're never going to end up coming back, because they're going to sink down so low that they'll never have a schus to come back out of Mitzrayim. They won't be zeicha to the Geula.
But doesn't Yaakov Avinu know the promise Hashem made to Avram Avinu? We'll be slaves in a foreign land.
Yeah, but it could be that promise is only going to be, you know, if you're worthy. But if you go to the foreign land and then you go really down low and you sink to the depths of lowness, so then maybe the promise doesn't apply anymore. So that's what he was scared of.
Maybe we could read the promise a little differently. Like, even if you go low, and if it happens to you, I'll promise that I'll save you.
I'm not arguing with Betzim. I'm not arguing with what either of you guys are saying. It could be that that's really included in what the answer is. The answer is that Hashem says to him, don't worry, I'm going to come down with you to Mitzrayim and I'm going to take you up. So basically he says, what does it mean I'm going to take you up? It says, I'm going to take you up out of Mitzrayim, even if it's earlier than the 400 years, because I'm going to make sure that you don't go that low that you'll never be able to come out. Like the Mekubalim say that Klal Yisrael was on the Memtas Shari Tumah, and if they would have stayed in Mitzrayim another second, so then, you know, they would have been stuck over there and they wouldn't have been able to leave, because they would have sunk so low. So Hashem took them out early so that they won't go that low. So Hashem, that's what Hashem is promising. He's like, I'm going to make sure that you go down, and even if you end up doing a veir and you know, going seeking to low depths, it's okay. I'm going to make sure that you won't go that low. I'll take you out before that happens. That's the base slaves. We talk to see that in Perek Mem Ches, that Klal Yisrael, we spoke about in Perek Mem Ches, that they went out early. You know, this is one of the considerations. So we have the shadow. What does it mean? Ein Yerushalayim Beinehem. Why does it say they don't have Yerushalayim between them? It should say they don't have Yerushalayim in them. What's between them? So Rabbi Leomi Israel says of art that, like this. We know in Mitzrayim, so the official religion was that Paro was God. Paro made himself into a god. He said, Li Ya'ari Vani Asisani, the river, which was before that, that was the main god of Mitzrayim. They worshipped the Nile River. So Paro says, this is Pasuk in Yechezkel, he says, Li Ya'ari, the river is mine, Vani Asisani, and I made myself. So he's saying, Paro's saying, I'm God. This is Midrashim to talk about. Paro used to claim that he was God. So if that was the official, that was the official religion in Mitzrayim. So fine. If you disagree with it, so then you would get killed. So, but Rabbi Leo Mizra says that, fine, but that's on the outside. But could be that on the inside, people really would believe in Hashem, you know, between you and me, you know, I know that really Hashem exists and Paro is not really God. Just between you and me, right? But on the outside, I have to make sure that people think that I think Paro is God, because otherwise kill me, right? So the Medrash is saying, no, even between them, they don't have Yiras Shemayim. Even between them, not just like, you know, they don't have it, On the outside, it looks like they worship Paro, but even on the inside, they don't have. They don't, between you and me, between people secretly, there's no Yiras Shamayim b'chla. But Vishama Yaakov is a dover. Yaakov Avinu heard the matter that Hashem said to him, "Go down. I'm going to come with you, and I'm going to bring you up." And the Medrash is also going to later on say another pshat. What does it mean that Hashem's going to go down and come up with us? Mishama Yaakov is a dover. Yaakov, you know, heard this matter that he promised he's going to bring him up. V'lokach es nashav ve'es banav ve'es b'noisav ve'es b'nois banav ve'heviyosam. And Yaakov, you know, took his wives and his sons and his daughters and his daughters and the daughters of his sons, and he brought them with him to Mitzrayim. Shinamar, as it says in the pasuk, banav uvnei banav itoi b'noisav uvnei banav imoi. Right, that's what it says in the pasuk. That he went down to Mitzrayim with his sons and his grandkids, basically, also. The Radal points out an interesting thing that in the pasuk it doesn't say his wives. Here in the Medrash it says lokachas nashav. He took his wives. In the pasuk it doesn't say anything about his wives. Right, so the Medrash here is being mechadish that Yaakovinu's wives came down with him to Mitzrayim. And we don't know exactly, let's say, we know Yaakov had four wives, right? Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. So Rachel, we know, already died beforehand when Binyamin was born. Leah, we don't know exactly when Leah died. Bilhah, Zilpah, also, Pashas, we don't know. So when it says Nashav, it's probably referring to some combination of Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. So the Radal says that the Medrash over here is sort of weighing in on another Machlekes. I'm
suggesting that there one of them, or two of them, or three of them, no, not three of them, two of them were already dead, except for Rachel. Why?
No, we don't know.
Plural, it says Nashav.
It says Nashav. It says his wives. More than we don't. Than. So it could be two, three. It could be two or three.
So why are you saying that the two or three? Why two?
Okay, three.
Okay, maybe three. Yeah.
Okay.
You don't know.
We don't. No, I'll say why. There's a magic. It's like when Yosef originally had his dream that the sun and the moon and the 12 and 11 stars are gonna bow down to him, right? So Yaakov Avinu was trying to like make a joke at not make a joke, but he tried to make the brothers not take it as seriously. And he said, "Havoy navoy ani v'amcho v'achachal yishtachal v'yisachal arza. Am I and your mother and your brothers gonna come and bow down to you?" No, so obviously this dream is shtuyot because it can't be that me and your mother and your brothers are going to come and bow down to you because your mother's already dead. So you know, that can't be a fulfillment of the dream. It's a Gemara in Brachos. You know, the Gemara in that last parak in Brachos. And the Gemara says, from here you see that Ein Chaloyim B'loy Dvarim B'Teilim. Every dream is not going to be 100% in this sky. It's not going to be 100% fulfilled. There's always going to be Dvarim B'Teilim in the dream. Right? So you see that so it sounds like from that Gemara that there was no way of being Mekayim the idea of Yosef's mother Kilo bowing down to him, right? Now the Radal brings another Medrash. The other Medrash says that what does it mean that his mother is going to bow down to him? It means that Bilhah is going to bow down. Like Bilhah sort of took the place of Rachel. In a lot of different ways, Bilhah took the place of Rachel, because I think it's the Arizal says that Bilhah has two. That all of the Imohis, they have a Hey in their name, because Hey is the letter of Olam Hazeh, and the letter of building in Olam Hazeh. So Sarah has a Hey. Right before she had the Hey, she wasn't able to have children. Rivka has a Hey. Right, Leah has a Hey. Rachel doesn't have a Hey, but Bilhah, who sort of in Rachel's place, has two Hays. So like one of the Hays really was sort of going for Rachel, and one of the Hays is for herself. But the point is that Bilhah sort of took the place of Rachel when Rachel died. So Yaakov Avinu moved his tent, moved his bed. Well, one second. When Rachel died, so Yaakov Avinu moved his bed into the tent of Bilhah. And Reuven didn't like it. He said that, you know, it's a bizayon to his mother Leah. But you see that Bilhah and Rachel is sort of like a continuation of each other. Yeah. So if Bilhah would bow down to Yosef, so you know that would be a kiyum of Yosef's dream that his mother is going to bow down to him, right? So you see, according to that medrash, that Bilhah was still alive when they came down to Mitzrayim. Now, according to the Gemara, where the Gemara said Ein Cholim B'li Dvarim B'Teilim, so then it could be that Bilhah was already dead. So we don't know what was up with Bilhah at this point.
I said when Naphtali was born, the pasuk says it pretty explicitly.
Yeah.
Rachel was Kael, like what's it
called? Kael, she gave birth to Dan and Naphtali.
And then she's the one who gives the name.
Right.
And she's the one who says, you know, my servant, instead of me, or something like that. The pasuk is pretty.
Yeah, I mean, Bilhah was Rachel's maidservant, so yeah. She was sort of like an extension of Bilhah, of Rachel in a way.
And didn't we say also that some hold it like
a sister? Yeah, probably they were all sisters.
I remember that. I heard it somewhere.
We had it in Pirkei Avot.
Yeah, it's here.
Yeah, we said it in Perek. Could be one here, one of those weeks.
From a different mother or the same from the same mother?
It was the same Perek that we spoke about the Truffin. What Perek was that? Lamed Vav? It was in Perek Lamed Vav, yeah. Okay, let's go right there. Kosav Echoraimer, the Manish brings sort of a steer in Psukim. It says, Kosav Echoraimer, it says in one Pasuk, Ve'ez Dina Bitoy. When it's listing all the people that came down to Mitzrayim, with Yaakov, it says, and his daughter Dina. V'chan, Aimer B'noisav. And here it says, Banav U'B'noisav, his sons and his daughters. So Banav U'B'noisav implies multiple daughters. But then when it's listing them, it only says ve'es dina bitoy. It only says dina, right? So it's a stirim psukim.
Stirim psukim or it's a stirim kirkin or b'leizer?
No, stirim psukim.
Where does it say? Shneimar banav u'bnei banav ito. That's pasuk. No, it was kirkin. B'shama Yaakov is a
double. No, the continuation of that pasuk is the continuation of that pasuk is ve'esav u'bnei's banav. Right? So the question is, was it one daughter or multiple daughters? Says the Medrash, "Lilamercha shebneisav shel Yaakov nishay vanov hayu." It's coming to teach you that the daughters of Yaakov Avinu were the wives of his sons. V'chol zarei shel Yaakov lakhu achyaseihem u'she'er besaram, and all the descendants of Yaakov Avinu married their sisters and their relatives. Right. Meaning, we mentioned this before. There's a machlekes in the midrashim who the shvatim married. Did they marry Knaniyos or did they marry their sisters? So this man over here is going like the opinion that they married their sisters.
Well, what happened to Yehuda?
What?
Yehuda.
Oh, so what happened to Yehuda? But so it could be there's two exceptions. By Yehuda, first of all, the pasuk explicitly says, "Vayar sham Yehuda ish." Vayasham Yehuda bas ish knani ushmo Yeshua. Yehuda saw a man, whatever, and he married the daughter of this knani man, and he married this lady bas Shua, right? So it says explicitly by Yehuda, seemingly that he married knanis, and also by Shimon. So the sons of Shimon, who are the sons of Shimon? Uvnei Shimon, Yimuel or Nimuel, Yamin ve'Ohad ve'Yachin ve'Tzayhar or Tzayhar, and Shaul ben Knanis. So who's Shaul ben Aknanis? It seems like his son Shaul was a son through a Kanani woman, ben Aknanis, right? So how does that work with this medrash? So first of all, if you want to say that they married Kanani, it's not like our medrash over here. So then it's not b'chol not a question. Second of all, you could say that maybe Yehuda and Shimon maybe were exceptions. Another mahalach you could say is there's a medrash that says that who's Shaul ben Aknanis? That was Shimon's son that he had from marrying Dina. Dina is called a Knanis because she was Nivela L'Knani. That's what the Medrash says. What about Yehuda? So Yehuda, you could also say that really all the Shatim married their siblings. Or didn't marry necessarily Knanis. They married people, let's say, even from Aram. In Sefer Yashar, it says that they married people from Aram, like their third, fourth cousins, whatever, from Aram and Aram, back from like Lovin's family. From Nochor's family. But it's interesting that the uncle says that when it says in the pasuk that by Yehuda, it says Bas Ish Knani, so it doesn't say Bas Bras Gvar Knanoya. That's not what it says in the Targum Unkelus. It says Bas Ish Knani, Bas Gvar Tagra. A Tagar is a merchant. So sometimes sometimes the word Canaanite doesn't mean Canaanite, like a descendant of Canaan, of the people that inhabited Eretz Yisrael before, but rather the word Canaanite means merchant.
Still a goy.
What?
Still a goy.
Still a goy, but it's not as bad. They're not, it's not, let's say, Orum, Ein Orum is Dabek Bebaruch. They also, the Mefarshim, I think, say it also on the Pasuk of...
Not people from that land.
Right. The Pasuk also says, V'chagor nasan al-Kanani. I think the Mefarshim, they're saying in that context as well, that Kanani, by Eish Yisrael, V'chagor nasan al-Kanani, that Kanani means a merchant. But that's what this is what the Marzu says over here. Now, so there's there's another medrash that also sounds like the married Kananias. There's a medrash that says that Yaakov Avinu made a tzava before he died, so he said that he doesn't want any of his grandkids. He doesn't want any of his grandkids to carry his coffin when they go to bury him, because his grandkids are descendants from Kananias. So that also assumes like that opinion that they were Canaanites. But
where is that said?
Bamidbar Rabba, Parsha Beis. The Radal brings it down over here. Mm-hmm. Al-Kaponim, so our Mandrish understands that they all married their sisters. Right? So Bnoisov are included in when we talk about Bonov, so we didn't have to mention it separately. But then Dina, we didn't, because as we said in Perek Lamed Vav, Dina she wasn't born with her zivuk together, so they weren't. So it's not included. So it's true. Binaizav is true, and the es Dina Bita is also true. The Radal points out an interesting double lashon over here. It says that they call Zarah Shel Yaakov Lachu Achiyay Seim. They married their sisters Usheir Besaram and their relatives. Now, it's a little bit of a redundancy. They married their sisters and their relatives. Your sister is your relative. Why does it say it twice? So he says, Tupshatim. Either it's coming to tell you that She'er Besarim is like a Lashon of Erva. Right? Ish Ish El Kol She'er Besarim Lestrikruv Legalis Erva is a Lashon. That's the Parsha of Arayas. So it's coming to tell you that even though they're Mamish in Erva, because usually by Bnei Nayach, so you're only in Erva through your mother's side and not through your father's side. They don't have yichus from their father's side, right? So you could say that they married their paternal sisters. They married their paternal sisters, but not their maternal sisters, right? So the Radha says that no, the Medrash is coming to say that no, they even married their maternal sisters, their sisters from the mother, which is otherwise alter to Bnei Nayach. Still, they married them. But that's why it says She'er Besarim. Or he says it's referring to the fact that Yosef married the daughter of Dina, like we said in the last parak, in Parak Lamechas, that Yosef married the daughter of Dina, so that wasn't his sister, it was his niece, so it's included in She'er Besarim. Kidei shalei schatno ba'amei ha'aratzis, so that they won't intermarry with the nations of the land. L'fichach nikru'u zera emes, therefore, the descendant, the seed of Yaakovin is called zera emes, the seed of truth. Shenemar, Kulay Zera Emes. They're all of them are Zera Emes, are seed of truth. I'm not sure what to do. What?
So you're about to say I'm not sure what to do with Yehuda?
No, I'm not sure what the manager is trying to say over here. What's this mile of Zera Emes? What's the Zera Emes? Like Yaakovinu is called Emes. Titan Emes Liakov. So like the descendants of Yaakovinu are like they're all like double descendants of Yaakovinu, sort of.
They don't have any outside genes.
Right, I guess it's something like that.
Emes.
They're all genes of Emes.
The question of Yehuda.
Kuloy Emes.
And why didn't then Yehuda is Malchus Israel not included?
Yeah.
If Malchus Israel comes from Yehuda, so then why did it have to be like that?
Yeah.
Dafka, I would have said the opposite. I would have said somehow only Malchus Israel. Yehuda was the only one that married his sister, and everybody else married Goyim.
The truth is like this: Yehuda married this Bathshua, and he had three sons with her, Er, Oinon, and Shelah. Aaron Oinon died without children.
Nothing comes from it.
Shelah comes from Shelah comes from Yehuda marrying Bathshua, and then Yehuda married Tamar, who there's a message that says that Tamar is the daughter of Shem. Right, so Shem is Milchus, and then from that was Peretz and Zerach. So like only a third of Yehuda's descendants are really from what might be Canaanis, maybe.
What? Wait. Yeah.
Yeah, only a third, Because
Tamar, what was Tamar?
She was, the Medrash says that she was a daughter of shame. Rather, Rashi and Saito talks about it.
It doesn't say who she, where she came from. It says it went back to her father's house. In the psukim.
Yeah, that's
who that was.
It's funny you should ask that, because it's a little bit difficult to say that she went, if her father is shame, so how does she go back to her father's house if her father is dead? Because if you make a cheshbon, so shame died even before Yaakovina went down to get married.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's a Marshan Megillah makes the cheshbon. I don't remember exactly how old Yaakovina was. When Yaakovina went to what they called the Yeshiva of Shem Ever, Shem was already dead.
No, it was Ever. There's something in the Megillah, I think, Chaf Hei, or something like that, and then end of third parak.
The what?
The says about the Masi Yehuda.
Yeah.
And there's a cheshbon there. I think one of the Mepharshim says a cheshbon there, and then it explains that Tamar went back to her father's house, even though he was dead.
Right? Even though he's dead, it's still called his house.
Yeah.
Right. It's the Dasakanim, the Taisa says also.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. When they came to the border of Mitzrayim, they counted Nisyachsu. They made a genealogy of all the males, and it was 66. V'Yosef u'Shnevanov plus Yosef and his two sons, which is another three people, is 69. Shivim chaser echos. There's 70 minus one, meaning 69 people altogether.
And Dina.
Yeah, if you look, I believe.
Rashi's going to count your chevet.
No, Dina's counted also. Dina is counted, but.
So
that's the thing. Yeah. In Parshas Vayigash, if you look in the Pesukim, Parshas Vayigash, so the Pesukim go through who were the people that came down with Yaakov Avinu, and it says that there were 70 people that came down. Yechashman, it's only really 69. So the shaila is, how do you answer who's the 70th?
Yeah.
So you guys are all saying, jumping the gun, sort of, and you're all saying Rashi, which is based on the Gemara, Bava Basra, and Megill, whatever, it's based on the Gemara's insight, I think, also, that Yecheved was Nelda ben Achimais, she was born between the Achimais, so, like, it's 69, and it's also 70, because, like, when they left, it was 69, but, like, when they got there, it was 70. Right. So that's sort of basically how Rashi explains it. The Rashbam in Bava Basra seems to say not like that. Because the Rashbam in Bava Basra seems to understand that Yecheved was born once they got to Mitzrayim, like right after they got there. All of this is based on a pasuk in last week's Parsha, by the way. Because it says in the pasuk, Yecheved bas Levi asher yoldo yisrael b'Mitzrayim. So we say Leidosa b'Mitzrayim ve'en hayrosa b'Mitzrayim. Her birth was in Mitzrayim, but the conception, she wasn't conceived in Mitzrayim. She was her mother was pregnant with her even before. And the Das Kanan, by the way, says that Esau was her mother's name. Asher yaldo Esau lelevi, that Esau is the name. Very shver. Pasha said, Pasha's saying that because they must have had some sort of girsa that the word Esau wasn't with a mapik hay. So that's why he was darshaning it. But we have Esau with a mapik hay, so then it's like, okay, so where's the room to make such a drasha like that? That's what some people say. But the point is that there was the pasuk says 69 and it says 70. So, but the Rashbam understands that she was born completely in Mitzrayim. So how do you understand the 70? Where does the 70 come from?
So Menashe and Ephraim.
What?
Why is that a kasha?
Yeah, for some reason everyone counts Menashe and Ephraim as part of the 70. Yosef and his two sons.
In Mitzrayim, so yeah. So why is that a kasha?
Because they didn't come. They didn't. I don't know. I hear.
Still
they didn't come down. They didn't come down with the family.
Still Menashe and Ephraim, right?
They were there before.
This is part of the Yerida.
Yeah, I hear.
Shivim Nefesh.
Well, the Rashbam doesn't count Miriam. It doesn't count Yocheved. And in Parshas Vayigash, the Rashbam himself explains why. And because the Rashbam says that, you know who's the 70th person? It says Yaakov Avinu. It's Yaakov and his 69 descendants are 70 people altogether. That's how the Rashbam explains it.
Yeah. And then the pasuk I thought the pasuk was mashma that Yaakov came down with 70 people. Yaakov. How did, I don't know how the
pasuk went. No, there's the MS is that there are a few different psukim in Parshas Vayigash and in Parshas in the beginning of Shmai. There's different psukim that are sound or have mashmas in different ways. There's also, I think, another mahalach that also wants to count Bilhah as the 70th person, maybe, even though she's not a descendant of Yaakov. I don't know. I don't remember where I got that from. But the Medrash over here is going to take a different turn. It says that they came down with 70 people minus one. Me'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem do? Nichnas imahem b'minyan. Hashem entered himself in the count. V'olu l'mitzpar shivim. And it came out to the number of 70. L'kayim ha'shenemar, to fulfill what it says in the pasuk, Onechi ered imcha Mitzrayim. I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim. So Hashem is going down with them to Mitzrayim. So you know where the 70th is? It's Hashem. That's what the Medrash is saying here. It's like similar to the last parak. We had like Hashem was mashlim the minion to make the cherem. Here Hashem is mashlim the mispar shivim.
And he said, "Ered."
Right. I'm going to go down with you. Now here's another part. Ucheshalu Yisrael from Mitzrayim. When Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, nisyachsu kol gvorim shishim riboy chaser echad. It came out to be 600,000 minus one, right? Shishim riboy chaser echad. It came out that when Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, it was 600,000 minus one people leaving Mitzrayim. Where do we get that from? So the Radal says, because it says in the pasuk, by Yitzchak Mitzrayim, it says k'sheish mi'ayis re'elef ragli, like 600,000 ragli people coming out, gvarim levad mitaf, whatever, right? That's lashon of the pasuk. K'sheish mi'ayis re'elef ragli. So like 600,000. What does it mean like 600,000? So it means that it's not literally 600,000. It must be chaser echad, right? Chaser echad, and then me'el sakadish, or you could say. Yeah. Oh, so me'el sakadish baruch. So what did Hashem do? Nichnas b'mispar imahem. Hashem joined in the number with them. V'ala misparim shishim riboy. And then it came out to a full number of 600,000. L'kayim hashenemar to be mekayim. What it says in the pasuk. Anochi eridim cha Mitzrayim. Anochi alchal gam aloi. I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim, and I'm going to come up with you from Mitzrayim. So Hashem was mashlim the shear of 70 people going to Mitzrayim, and Hashem was mashlim the shear of 600,000 people that came out of Mitzrayim.
How is that number of 70 important?
What?
Why is the number of 70 so important?
Why is the number of 70 so important?
I was going to say the other question.
What? More. Why 600,000?
Minus one, you know. Both are questions. But Dafka doesn't have to be these two numbers. There's a Maharal behind you if you want to know.
I don't know. We did find a thing. We said this in Parakhtalid. I'm guessing.
Because those that say it wasn't 600,000. It was 600,000.
We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a second.
We just round off.
We said like this in Parakhtalid. Which I recently came across something interesting about it. But in Parakhtalid Dali said, says the Pasuk, Bahan Chel, Yoin Goyim. That when Hashem decided to divide the different nations of the world, so Hashem did it like the number of the sons of Israel. And how many nations of the world are there? 70. And what's Mispar B'nai Yisrael? So we say that Mispar B'nai Yisrael is the amount of descendants that came with Yaakov into Mitzrayim, and that's 70. Let's say you have 70 nations. I recently came across the Ralbag on that pasuk in the Parshas Hazinu. So the Ralbag says that it's 12. The Hashem gave out the different nations of the world to the 12 mazalos, which correspond to the 12 sons of Yaakov Avinu. Not talking about the people that came down to Mitzrayim, but Parshas our Medrash in Parakov Dal, it says 70. So that's where this number of 70 comes in. The Rabbeinu Bachai in Parshas Bahalei Yisro, he brings a remez to what we're saying over here in the Medrash. It's an interesting remez. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, how am I going to deal with all these people? 600,000 people, the nation that I'm in their midst. So he says 600,000. That the Anoichi, who's Anoichi? Anoichi is Hashem, is in their midst to get to that number of 600,000. So there's a remnant of the fact that Hashem is part of the Cheshbon. Hashem Himself, Kibayachol, is part of the Cheshbon of Shishim Riboy, whatever exactly that means. But, oh, so we have Rabbi Pomerantz's question. Really, the pasuk says in Parshas Kisisa, when they counted Bnei Yisrael the first time after they left Mitzrayim, so it says, how many people were there? 600,000, 3,550 people came out, or was the amount of people that they counted in Parshas Kisisa, the first time they counted after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So then the Shaila is, how does that work? You know, when it says about 600,000, Kishesh Me'as Elef Ragli, so say, what does it mean about? It means about because of this number of Shesh Me'as Elef Shesh Elef Elef Chamesh Me'as Elef Chamishim. That's the Kishesh Me'as Elef. Right? And then that would sort of contradict our Mandrash over here. The our Mandrash over here is saying that, no, Dafka 600,000, it was even 600,000 minus 1 plus Hashem, sort of a contradiction. So the Radal asks this question. The Radal says that you have to say that, no, really, when they originally went out of Mitzrayim, it was exactly 600,000 minus 1 plus Hashem. A few months later, when they did the counting, so then it was 603,550. They had more people were born. That's what the Radal says.
Not more people were born, but more people
joined,
reached the age.
Reached the age. Okay. Or both. He
certainly
says
both, but they're counting people above the age of 20.
No, he doesn't say if they were born or they reached
also
the age.
Also, it's different. Also, same idea. Because Levim were in Kitisa were counted separately than that number. That was Yisrael.
Yeah, that's
Levim
also
Levim were counted
problem.
Separately, but it was all the same in Mitzrayim, as far as I know.
But
so it's also you have to. I mean, it's.
Now that we're talking about it, it's time. I thought of a little bit of a vart over here, because what's the lashon of the pasuk in parshas boy says kishesh me'as ve'alef ragli, right? So what are we bothered about? What's the kishesh me'as ve'alef ragli? Right. So we said that the Radal says that that's the makor of the medrash to say that it was minus one, or we could say that maybe it's off by like 3,000 people or whatever. So we had in the last parak when we were talking about the what's it called, the mochala with I. So it says how many people were killed? Ki shleishim v'shisha ish, like 36 people. So it wasn't like 36. So we said one pshat. The Gemara says one pshat is that it was Yair ben Menashe who was killed, and he's like 36 people because he's shokul keneged half of the Sanhedrin. And then we said the other pshat is the Radak and Sefer Yeshua says that what's the kishleishim v'shisha ish. Like ke, it says chaf hashir. It's a chaf that functions as like an amount. So the amount of ke is like the amount of. So here kishesh me'as elef ragli would say like the amount of, and then the shah says, how did you get to that amount if we have some sort of messer that it was minus one? So he says, oh, Hashem also was in the cheshbon, something like that. Right, Rabbi Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says, "Eser pa'amim amru bnei Yaakov liYosef avdecha avinu." 10 times the children of when this okay, the Medrash is sort of backtracking now and going back to the original story of Yosef. It's I don't know why it's doing it backwards, but this is why it's doing it. So when Yosef's brothers were interacting with Yosef and they didn't know who he was, they thought they were interacting with the second in command of Mitzrayim. So it says the Medrash Rabbi Shmuel Amar says. The sons of Yaakov said to Yosef 10 times, they used the phrase Avdecha Avinu, our father, your servant. And Yosef heard this and he was quiet. And silence is tantamount to admission. And so he was admitting that his father is his servant. And so that's a contradiction to the idea of kiburav. Lefichach neskatzu michayov eser shanim. Therefore, it was shortened from his life 10 years. Bais Agadol says because we say that kiburav is the pasuk says kavirus vichvius and mechal aman yerichin yomecha. It's a school of kiburav. The reward for fulfilling kiburav is arichus yamim. So the punishment for the opposite is the opposite. So that's why Niskatzur Mechayev Eser Shonim, because he failed to accomplish this Darga of Kibud Av, and he let himself hear Avdecha Avinu 10 times. So he heard it 10 times, so he lost 10 years. And we take a find that the Pasuk says, in the last Pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, it says that Yosef HaTzadik died when he was 110. And we know that Stam lifetime of a person is supposed to be 120. So 120 minus 110 is 10. Right? So Yosef lost what should have been 10 extra years of his life. The Radal says that it's a bit difficult because other Shvatim lived for less than 120 years. So like, why should we expect that Dafka Yosef should live for 120 years? But that's more or less what the Medrash is saying of it. We're assuming that a person is supposed to live 120, and Yosef only lived 110, so he lost 10 years because he heard Avdecha Avinu 10 times. It's not interesting, Zach, that in archaeology, they found the mythology in Egypt, where there's a blessing that you tell somebody that like the ideal lifespan is 110 years. It's an interesting idea how that works with Yosef, where exactly that comes from. The 110 years. Okay, so let's get in a little bit more into the kishkas of this. Yosef heard them say about his father Avdecha Avinu, our father, your servant. They heard it 10 times. Yeah? So the shaila is like this. Where's the 10 times? So as the Bais HaGadol correctly points out, there's one time in the Parshas Miketz, and four times in the Parshas Vayigash. So that's 5. So where do you get 10? So Bais HaGadol says, and other Mepharshim also say this, you get 10 like this, because they said it 5 times, plus the translator, Menashe, who is translating, they said it, spoke to Menashe in Lashon HaKodesh, and Menashe said it over to Yosef again in Egyptian, so Yosef heard it 10 times, because he understood Lashon HaKodesh. So you heard the brothers say it 5 times, and you heard the translator say it another 5 times, so that's how you get the number 10. Yeah? But, that's what the Bais HaGadol says, the Zayis Ranan also says it, Marzu says another pshat, and it could be that his pshat fits best with the language used in the Medrash over here. He says like this: yeah, Echnami, they said it 5 times. But what does the Medrash say? Ushtika kaidoya damyo. Silence is like admission. So he heard it 5 times, and he was silent. And each time he was silent, it's as if he said it. So that's another 5 times. Altogether, you have 10. Meaning we're not counting the translator, we're counting as if Yosef heard it 5 times, and then he heard it another 5 times, because when he was silent, it's as if he said it. That's what the Marzu says. So that means like this. The Marzu is saying sort of like a lom de shavart. It's as if he said it. Now, this really goes into like a real lom de shesugya. How do we understand the concept of shtika koidoya? Right? If you know, I take you to court. What's the concept of shtika? I take you to court. I say, you owe me $100. So what do you say? You say nothing. Right? So what's Bezdin Paskin? Bezdin Paskin says, okay, you owe me $100. Right? Shtika kaida. So how do we understand this idea of shtika kaida? So you could understand it sort of like the way the Marzu is saying it over here. By you not saying something, you're basically just saying, I admit that I owe you $100. I don't want to say it because you know it's embarrassing. I'm not going to say it, but I'm admitting that it's true. And basically, Bezin is saying that by your admission, you're chayav to pay me. That's one way of understanding what the idea of shtika kaida is, and that's how the Marzu understood it. It's as if you said it. But I was mekabel from my Rebbe Rav Moshe Yosef Moldaver, in the name of his Rebbe Rav Elias Svei Zatzal from Philly. He says that's not the Pshat Shtika Koyedah. He says the Pshat Shtika Koyedah is like this. What's the function of Beis Din? The function of Beis Din is when there's a plaintiff and a defendant, right? There's two claimants and they have two claims. Beis Din comes in and they have to decide between the two claims and go one way or the other, right? So Shtika Koyedah says that when one claimant comes and he claims one thing, I claim you owe me $100, right? And the other guy, what's his claim? He doesn't have a claim. He doesn't say anything, right? So it's not pshat as if he said that he admits it, that he owed $100. No. The pshat is that, okay, so Bezdin only sees one side over here. There's only one story. So we'll assume that you're saying the truth. There's nothing, there's no one's arguing. Right? So we'll go with you. You said $100? Okay, $100. There's no, you automatically win because there's no one opposing you. There's no opposing counterclaim. You automatically win. So if you understand that that's the lumdus, shtika kada doesn't literally mean that being quiet is the same thing as admitting. It just means that in the practical ramifications, it'll be the same thing as admitting. But it's not as if you said those words. So it's not like the
hodaya.
Right, it's not really a hodaya.
So what is hodaya? What say is hodaya?
What?
What does it mean? Shtika kada.
Meaning just like if you would admit it, you lose. So too, if you're quiet, you also lose.
It's not hodaya. It's not a hodah.
No, they're right. Right. That's what I'm saying.
It's not a hodah.
It's just at the end of the day, you lose both ways. You lose if you're quiet, just right. Like you lose if you admit it. Yeah, that's who understands it.
Yeah.
So that's not like the marzu. It's an interesting. It's a very interesting way of looking at it. But Rishama Yosef Shaba Aviv Legvul Mitzrayim. Yosef, okay, we're going back to Rishama Yosef Shaba Aviv Legvul Mitzrayim. Yosef heard that his father is coming to the border of Mitzrayim, to the boundary of Mitzrayim. And he took all his men with him, and he went to visit to greet his father. And all of the nation came to greet the king. Generally, all the nation goes out to greet the king. But a king doesn't go out to greet other people. So then, if Yosef was more or less the king, so why is he going out to greet his father? The king doesn't go out to greet people. People go out to greet the king, not vice versa. Rather, it's coming to teach you that a person's father is like a king. So you go out to greet your father, even if you're the king, you go out to greet your father. Mm-hmm. So yes, even though he was the king, he goes out to greet his father because his father is like his king. Rabbi Yomi Izmir has a different gears over here that it says, a person doesn't go greet a person. I guess it means like doesn't go out to greet stam a person. A difficult gersa. Rav Chaim Falachi says that he doesn't know where his Rebbe or Leomi Ezra got this gersa from. But there is such a gersa. But our gersa is ein hamelach yetzei likras adam. The Radal points out that from this story, you see that Yosef was very much mechabed his father. That even though he was king, he went out and to greet his father, etc. So it's sort of like a contrast to the previous story. It's like, over there we saw that you know, he didn't do exactly the most that he could have. And over here we see that he did mamish the most that he can. We still have another few minutes. Rabbi Pinchas says, Sharsa Ruach HaKodesh Al Yosef Minurov Va'ad Yemaisai. Pinchas says that Ruach HaKodesh, a Holy Spirit, rested upon Yosef from Minurov, from during his adolescence, Va'ad Yemaisai, until the day that he died. V'hayisam in a Hegesai, say, B'chol Dvar Chochma. And that Holy Spirit would lead him in all sorts of wisdoms. The Radal says that he was able to interpret dreams, he was able to speak all the different languages, etc. Like a shepherd who leads his sheep, his flock. Shenamar, it says the pasuk, Raya Yisrael, it's referring to Hashem. Hashem is Raya Yisrael, he shepherds Israel. Or say, Raya Yisrael, I'm sorry, Raya Yisrael Hazina. We ask Hashem, shepherd of Israel Hazina, listen to us. Noyeg Katzain Yosef. He administers, he leads Yosef like sheep. He leads Yosef like sheep. So you see that Hashem was leading Yosef. He was leading him like a shepherd. He was helping him out. Sort of controlling, administering. Mm-hmm. The Radal sort of expands a little bit on this. And the Radal says that by Yaakov Avinu, when he gave his brachas before he died to Ephraim and Menashe, so he says, Halikimo Raya Isi Ma'idi Ve'adayim Azeh. He referred to Hashem as Ha'alikim, the God, Haroya Isi, who shepherds me, Me'aydi, from yonder, Adayem Azeh, until this day, till the day that he died. So Hashem was shepherding Yaakovinu his entire life, right? And then over here, we're sort of juxtaposing Hashem leading Yaakovinu to Hashem leading Yosef. So too, we see that Hashem was leading Yosef his entire life, that he had a special Ruach HaKadosh that was leading him his entire life. I would read this as, and despite all of his chokhmah, all of his wisdom, hisisai ishtei shel Potipharah, the wife of Potipharah was able to seduce him into doing an avera. Uchishibikish lahargel b'avera, and when Yosef wanted to go and do the avera, ra'a d'yoiknoi shel aviv, he saw the image of his father, v'chazer l'achayrav v'kavash yisitzray, and then he turned backwards. He turned back. He didn't end up doing the Kovash Yisrael, and he conquered his Yetzer Hara. Right? He went. He was. The pasuk says he was in a house alone with her. Ein ish me'anshe abayis sham ba'boyis. There was no man from the people of the household in the house except there was no man there except for him and her. Right? And then he ran away and she screamed and whatever. Right? So Chazal tell us. Gemara and Saita Lamed Vav and Beis, the Taisus over there, Ein Ish Me Anshei Abayis, meaning from the Anshei Abayis, from the people of the household, there was no Ish, but there was an Ish there besides Yosef and Eishes Potipharah who wasn't from Anshei Abayis. Who was that Ish? Dukhnei Shel Aviv, the image of Yaakov Avinu that appeared in front of him. That was what sort of inspired him to be Kavish Yisrael. Says the Medrash, Shleisha Kavshu Yitzran Lifnei Yitzran. Three people conquered their Yitzer, their inclination, in front of their Yitzer, in front of the person who formed them, in front of Hashem. The Elohim, these are those three people. Yosef, Uvoyaz, Upalti bin Laish. Yosef, Boyaz, and Palti bin Laish. So Yosef, we know the story of Yosef with Eishes Potifar. Boaz had the story with Ruth, where she came to him in the middle of the night, and Boaz felt that he can't do anything with her in the middle of the night because he felt that there was a closer relative who should really have first dibs in marrying her. That was a bit of a crude expression, but yeah, that's I think that's the way to say it. Upalti bin Laish, the story with Palti bin Laish was that David HaMelech had married Michal Bas Shaul with the foreskins of 100 plishtim, and Shaul sort of didn't really want to admit that the Kedushin was really there, and he was jealous of David, so he basically decided to like give Michal to someone else as a wife, as if she wasn't really married to David. So he gave her to this guy named Palti bin Laish. The Gemara says that Palti bin Laish, he took a sword and stuck a sword in between in the bed between the two, and he said, you know, I'm not going to come close to you. And Palti bin Laish was such a tzaddik, he knew that you know, she was really married to David, or at least Safik married to David. He didn't want to do anything with her. So he was mamish living in the house with her as if they were married, but he didn't touch her.
So Yechud is not the right side.
Well, yeah. V'hayaroi lamed miyetzer shemasar shvatim, and it was fitting to come out from Yosef 12 tribes. But because of at this story, when he was in the heat of the moment, when he was going to be with Eishes Potifar and he didn't, yatsu mi reishe etzba'isav zera asara shvatim, from the tips of his 10 fingers, the seed of 10 of those tribes came out of his fingers. Shinemar, it says in the pasuk. In the end of Hashaychi, it says, "Vayfayzu zraya yodov," and the zera of his finger, of his hands, the seed of his hands were scattered. So the seed came out of Yosef's fingers, and because he was supposed to have 12 tribes, and he lost 10 of them because they came out of his 10 fingers, nishtaru sham shnayim, two remained, because 12 minus 10 is 2. Menashe v'Ephraim, Menashe and Ephraim. So that's why Yosef was zecha to have two shvatim, Menashe and Ephraim.
Is this the source of this?
What's the source of this idea that Yosef was like? What's this? Is not the source, but there are other midrashim that say this. But this is one of the sources. Yeah. But how do we know Yosef was supposed to have 12 kids? So the Radal says, because it brings a Gemara that says Ela Tildas Yaakov Yosef. These are the sons of Yaakov Yosef. Just like Tildas Yaakov are 12, so Tildas Yosef is also supposed to be 12. Now I always had difficulty with this. I don't know exactly how to understand this. And also the Mekubalim speak about like that Yosef did some sort of avera over here by having a zera come out of his 10 fingers. I don't know what that means, because if you do something normal, let's say, and a nace happens, and it ends up that you did an aver because of that nace, so how could you be held responsible? I didn't do anything. It was a nace.
No aver here.
No matter how excited you are, so zera is not going to come out of your fingers, right? So obviously it was a nace that zera came out of his fingers.
Also, it was all because of kavash esitzro. I don't understand. Also, did a mitzvah.
No, but it could be before he was kavash esitzro, right? So something else. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It seems like it's a contradiction. If it was kavash esitzro, so what does it mean that it came out of his fingers? I don't know.
That's an aveira.
But I think my question is also, it was a nace.
From because
he got punished. He lost 10 tribes.
But it was almost like the schar for having kavash esitzro was that it didn't come out the normal way. It came out as a nace.
Right.
Which is not a carry.
Yeah, so...
Not a normal... It didn't come out of the Aver again, so it's not more confusing.
Yeah, I don't understand it yet. Fine. The Hevi Olav Ha'isha Alilais Dvorim. The woman put upon him Alilais Dvorim. She made slander against him. V'nichbash Bevetz Vasturim Ezer Shonim. And Yosef was locked up in jail for 10 years. Shom Pasar HaChalemet Shel Avdei Farai. Ish Kachalamay Posar. There in jail, he interpreted the dreams of the servants of Paro. Each man according to the according to his dream, he was able to interpret it. Kishem shahayu hadvarim, as just like the matter was. Shenemar vahi kasher posel lenu kein hayo, just as he interpreted to us, so it was. Etc. We'll stop over here, and that's basically the story of Yosef, how he ended up in jail. And we'll see from there. He goes on to Gedulo. He'll interpret Pyro's dreams and become the viceroy, etc. There's one point over here is like this. It says over here in the Medrash that Yosef was in jail for how many years?
10.
10 years. Yep. So now we have to make a little bit of a chronological analysis of what happened. The givens are the Psukim. The Psukim says Yosef was sold when he was... The Pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev says Yosef was sold when he was 17 years old. Right? Pasuk in Parshas Miketz says that Yosef was 40 years old when he stood in front of Paro. 30 years old, sorry. 30 years old when he stood in front of Pilate. How many years is that? 13 years. So how do we get to 13 years? So Pashup Shat is, according to the bicycle, it says Pashup Shat, Yosef worked for Potiphar for 3 years. Right? He was sold at 17. He worked for Potiphar for 3 years till he was 20, let's say. And then he was in jail for 10 years till he was 30, and that's when he was in front of Pilate when he was 30. That's what the bicycle says. But the Radal brings the Seder Olam, says a different... Says that's not true. Seder Olam says that Yosef was only working for Potiphar for 12 months. He only worked for Potiphar for 1 year. And Seder Olam says that Yosef was in jail for how many years? 12 years. So that's how you get the Cheshbon of 13. Right? Mm-hmm. So the question really is Pinchas the Blazer arguing again on Seder Olam? Seder Olam says he was in jail for 12 years. Pinchas the Blazer says he was in jail for 10 years. So both the Radal and the Marzu propose this explanation, and it's really based on all the Midrashim as well, that you could say that Yosef was in jail for 10 years, and he was also in jail for 12 years. Meaning like this, initially, Yosef was chayv to be put in jail as an oinish for saying Lashon Hara against his 10 brothers, so he got a punishment of 10 years in jail. And that's what the Midrash means over here, it says he was in jail for 10 years. But on top of that, he was... also got another 2 years. Why? For bad behavior. For bad behavior, right? Because when he spoke to the Saramashkim, so he said to the Saramashkim, don't forget, what did he say? What's the Lashon? Whatever, he said, don't forget me and remember me. Go tell Pyro about me and my dream interpreting abilities. So he was relying on the Saramashkim and he repeated it twice. So it's another 2 years because he said it twice. So 2 years, so that on top of the 10 years, it's 2 years. So when our Medrash says he was in jail for 10 years, that means 10 years before he was chayav for another 2 years. The initial 10 years. That's how you could explain it and say that our Medrash over here is not arguing on the Seder Olam.
But then the Seder Olam is correct in saying he was by Potiphar 1 year.
And yes.
Over here, it doesn't say anything, I guess.
It doesn't say anything, right.
So just, okay.
Okay. Shkoyach. Kol tov. Okay.